One of the first things you notice when you observe professionals work, and here I'm talking about people who work in social organizations that meet the kind of formal sociological definition of professions, is that their practice is not identified with who they are as a person. The people are separate from the practice. And the instantiation of this in the work is the use of protocol. So you're on final approach to O'Hare. The weather's a little gnarly out there. And the pilot comes on the intercom and says, "You may notice something a little different about this landing. I've always wanted to try this without the flaps." You go in for your pre-surgical conference for cardiovascular surgery, and your surgeon says, "You know, I was driving in this morning, I had this flashback, this epiphany, and I think I'm going to do this one the way we did it in 1973. You know, now we have all this fancy technology where you make a little cut here, and then you go in with all this really fancy fiber optic stuff. No, I want to just crack you open, bust you up. It's been a long time since I've been able to do that." Right? You're in final negotiations with your architect for the planning on the new high school, and the architect says to you, "I found a way to get that extra 3,500 square feet. All we need to do is to relax the load restrictions on the roof, and these things only collapse about every 10 years. Now, what's interesting about each of those cases is if you do any one of those things, you are called an ex-practitioner. Now, I think there's at least at the classroom level, I'm not so sure at other levels of the system, but at least at the classroom level, there's a profound misconception in the culture of education about the meaning of professionalism. Professionalism in education equals autonomy. So that anything that compromises the individual's judgment in their practice is considered to be anti-professional or non-professional. What I'd like to submit to you is that that is a profoundly anti-professional point of view. Professionals are not people who exercise autonomy in their practice. Professionals are people who subscribe to a body of knowledge. They use that body of knowledge to control entry to the work. They deliberately get rid of people who have not mastered the body of knowledge. And insofar as autonomy of judgment gets exercised, it gets exercised within pretty well-established protocols, and it gets exercised on the margins of existing knowledge. That is to say, every profession has people who are pushing the boundaries of the knowledge out. That requires high levels of judgment. We're paying a very high price for this definition of professionalism. It means essentially that educators are what I would call, in terms of the identity literature, they're primordialists, which they believe that the practice is inextricably connected with the identity of the person. That is, we are what we do. Let me just say, if we had that point of view in the practice of medicine, we'd be still sawing people's legs off without anesthesia. Right? Because the mark of a profession is that people can dissociate themselves from their current practice, examine it, analyze it, get rid of it when it doesn't work, and still not have their identities as individuals and people and powerful people in the world deeply challenged. So primordialism is alive and well. It's alive and well in the way we teach leadership. We use a lot of attribute theories. We teach that successful leaders have personal characteristics right? Rather than practices. We associate effective teaching with the personal characteristics of the teacher rather than the practices of the teacher. What this means is that in order to change the practice, we have to get rid of the people. Now, you can't do this in a mass profession. So we're stuck, I think, in a box. What protocols do is they help people distance themselves from their practice. Protocols help to structure discussions around the action, the behavior, the cause and effect relationships between what you do and what you hope to produce by what you do. They provide an armature where people can structure discussions about their practice and maintain strong personal relationships with each other in the face of very challenging talk about the effectiveness of what they're doing. And they provide an occasion for bringing knowledge into the discussion without threatening the identity of individual players. So in the Superintendent's Network, we have protocols for observation, we have protocols for analysis, we have protocols and norms for how we conduct discussions. We do verbatim records of our discussions. We code them for content analysis. We pull pages out of the transcript of these discussions and we present them to people. People read them and we evaluate our own work as practitioners. Speaking personally, this has been a fairly traumatic experience. This has been a tough row to hoe. But what has happened, I think, which is the topic of the next thing I have to say, is that people have learned to be much more explicit about their theory of action. Which is, we actually ask people to write it down. That is, if you're a superintendent or if you're a principal, how do you get from what you do every day to some improvement of classroom practice, to some change in student learning? How's that represented in the way you spend your time? How's that represented in the kind of knowledge that you consider to be relevant for your work? How does that represented in who you seek out as professional colleagues? How is that represented in the ways in which you structure consultation inside your organization? Now, when people initially try to do this, it's pretty awful. It reads sort of like the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. But we put people in groups of two or three and we stay with it over time and they critique each other's theories, and by a year or so into the work, we get the grain size down to a point where people can actually assign cause and effect relationships to what they do on Wednesday morning and what they expect to have happen in the fourth grade in literacy. It's sometimes painful, but I think most of the people who've been through the process think that it's fairly productive.